I'm Natalie Tisdall, a journalist who decided enough is enough. I left a career that looked glamorous to do what I was scared of doing, going out on my own. I'm a married working mom of three. On this podcast, we're going to talk about issues that really matter. Why am I not sleeping? What's up with that diet everyone's talking about? Are my kids falling behind? How do I leave that job and start over? Welcome to the Natalie Tisdall Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Spring is finally in the air. And for me, that usually means another round of snow in Colorado, but that's okay because I can see the horizon. I wanted to bring someone on the show today to help us really understand our health. I'm a big believer in getting to the root of health issues, not just masking them with lots of different medicines and different theories, but really understanding why we have these issues. So today, my guest is someone who specializes in just that, Dr. Austin Lake. He is a functional medicine practitioner who's changing lives around the globe through his innovative online program. This topic, though, is so important, and we have so much to talk about that I'm doing something different for the next 2 weeks. I've made it a two-week series. I want you to realize that taking control of your health is not just beneficial, it is essential for your long-term well-being. So we're going to talk about several underlying health issues, from sleep to hydration and stress management. Did you know the profound impact stress can have on your overall health? And you might not even realize how stressed you are. The conversation is a treasure trove of wisdom, including goal setting for optimal health. So make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode here of podcast. And by the way, you can always get more information by going to my website, natalietisdall.com. Let's get started with part one of my conversation with Dr. Austin Lake. Dr. Lake, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
This is an issue that it's close to me because as a health reporter for so many years, I was always bothered by covering up issues just to feel better. And sure. I'm a big believer in getting to the root of the problem, find out why you have the problem, whatever it is. And I know that that's a theme for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things that having had gone through my own health journey, I think a lot, you often kind of, you don't know what it's like until you go through it, right? And you start to experience the masking, and it starts to kind of compound to a certain extent before it becomes a much bigger problem if you don't get at the root. And so, yeah, it's definitely a big passion of mine.
I did an interview years ago with someone you might know, and she wrote a book called Drug Muggers. Hmm. And it's just that. It's I'm taking one thing and then you end up taking another thing. You take another right. thing all because of the symptoms you're getting from the first thing.
Sure.
So I know that's how you got into what you do, but give us an idea of where to start. I like to go there first for people, where to start. Maybe people have some underlying issues and they don't know how to get started in fixing or feeling better.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting conversation because a lot of people, the first thing they assume they should do is go to their doctor and get a bunch of tests. And though that can be a really great tool, and depending on your symptoms, it may be necessary. But I think for a lot of people who are just trying to improve their health, the first thing to start with is just like, okay, what are things that I can actually control? Am I being diligent with my sleep? Am I hydrating my cells? Like, am I actually eating good food? Am I working on reducing my stress? Like, if we're not doing those things up front, you have to start asking the question, like, well, what are they going to do if I go to my doctor and I get these tests done and they tell me that I have insulin resistance, or they tell me that nothing's wrong, but I still feel this way? Well, either it's going to be a procedural recommendation of, this is a surgery or this is the pill to take. Typically, most times you go to your doctor, they're going to tell you to eat healthy and to exercise. So you're like, okay, well, I already know that. So then it's like, you have to decide, like, what is the next best step for you? And I think so many people make this mistake of prioritizing the procedural interventions that really are just kind of giving you a bit of a dopamine hit mm-hmm. and making you kind of feel like you are doing something. But the reality is that most of us need to just start taking action and actually controlling what we know we need to start controlling. Like, the things that we actually have the ability to control, like, that's where you start. And then I think depending on what your symptoms are and what, how it's manifesting, you know, if it is something serious, it obviously go to your doctor, rule out those severe things, but most more times than not, you're going to be told you're fine. You're going to be told here's a medication, or you're going to be told to diet and exercise, which you're then like, okay, well, what does that actually look like for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hit those things you just mentioned then, because you're right. Like we all in today's world want a quick fix. You're like, mm-hmm. I don't want to exercise, but I want to lose weight, or I'm tired all the time, but I'm not really getting to bed on time. Like, right. What, let's talk about those pillars to begin with.
Yeah. You know, the pillars for us in our program are really, you know, I always use this analogy of, you know, traffic flowing on a freeway. And I was out in California recently and, you know, I was traveling on the 101 and it was just crazy traffic all the time. But one of the things that I was thinking about actually when I was traveling on that road, I was just thinking about how, you know, one way you can kind of view toxins, and people always talk about detoxifying and doing big cleanses and all this stuff. And I think if you imagine traffic flowing on a freeway and an accident occurs, you know, there's going to be a pileup. It's going to kind of cause a backup, right? Yeah. There's a chain reaction. And the first thing you have to do is kind of stop the flow of traffic, because if you don't stop that influx, you're going to then have more of a pileup. So yeah. That's kind of like what's happening with your health. It's like if you are feeling toxic and there's been an accident that's occurred, you know, in your body and at the source, you have to stop bringing in a bunch of toxins, right? And so the easiest thing you can do is just stop eating the garbage food. And I think more people are, you know, we're starting to become a little bit more aware, like, and people are not dumb. They're not foolish. Like, they know what healthy food mostly is and they know what unhealthy food mostly is. And so you can start with those things, you know, eating colorful foods, actually eating fruits and vegetables, eating things that are non-genetically modified, eating foods that are organic if you can afford it. You know, if you're going to eat meat, which I'm a huge advocate for, you know, making sure it's grass-fed, grass-finished, like those are just, you know, those are the simplest ways from a dietary health perspective, just to get your body to where it's no longer bringing in a bunch of garbage. And then once you've done that, then you can start to allow your body to proactively deal with the accident site, right? Where there's a potential for damage that needs to be kind of cleared up. You can obviously use different supplements to do that. You can work with a practitioner like myself to do that. You can kind of be more proactive in the sense of how you're going to be handling that specific injury site. And then once you get that going, you can restore kind of flow. And this is where I say, you know, for a lot of us, we don't need to be perfect with health. Like, it's impossible to live perfectly, but building resiliency does take intentionality. And I think a lot of people are not being intentional enough with their decisions, so that, you know, even if their body is capable of healing, which all of our bodies are, we're not giving it much of a chance to actually address the problem. And instead, we'd like to, like you were saying, kind of focus on this quick fix of, you know, doing a 20-day, you know, 21-day cleanse, or, you know, taking a supplement or taking a pill or whatever it is. Like, we don't want to actually do the work of putting in these pillars. And so you ask the question, like, what are these pillars? Sleep is obviously a huge one. I know you've talked about this on your podcast and a lot of other great things, but, you know, sleep is the biggest one that we can really emphasize. And I think so for a lot of women and people in particular, but women specifically, what I've noticed with my clients is that I think a lot of women try to reclaim their day at nighttime. And what I mean by that is that, you know, they have a lot going on, they're taking care of everybody else around them. And then nighttime comes around, it's like, well, I finally have some time to myself, I'm going to stay up a little bit later. And I always use this analogy of, you know, missing the bus to Sleepy Town, which is kind of, you know, silly in a sense, but it kind of sticks with people. And what I mean by that is if you're feeling tired, and let's just say it's 9 o'clock and you're like, hey, I could shut it down and I could be asleep pretty quick. That's your body's cue, right? That it's time to fall asleep. But most people, what they do is they skip that first bus. You know, that first bus is going to take you straight to Sleepy Town. You're going to have a nice journey. You're going to get to your destination feeling all rested. But people miss that first bus and they catch the second bus thinking it'll be the same. But the second bus is not the same. It's stinky. It has multiple stops. You wake up multiple times throughout the night and you often will get to your destination just feeling more tired. And so I think for a lot of people, that's what they do with their sleep, is they miss that first window of opportunity to engage in a deep sleep, and they catch the next opportunity. But that next opportunity is often going to be, you're going to be experiencing more levels of cortisol fluctuation. Your melatonin might be a little bit lower. And so you're not going to be getting into as deep of restful sleep. And so the easiest thing to do is just kind of honor your cues from your body and just start to engage into a nighttime ritual of kind of, you know, no phones, which is a big problem for a lot of us. You know, we're watching shows on our laptops, we're on our phones before bed, we're maybe eating food, you know, too soon before bedtime. We're having discussions with our spouse that maybe shouldn't be happening at that time of night. Like, they're all kind of engaging this part of our nervous system that is like excitatory and not calming. And so the easiest thing is just to you know, create this ritual where it's like, hey, we're not going to have these conversations after 9 o'clock. You know, we're not going to watch TV after 9 o'clock or be on our phone or whatever that is for you. And then start to, you know, read a book, like a real book, and do so in a chair, not in your bed, because oftentimes people will, or their brains will start to associate when they're in a particular environment. Like if you're laying in bed reading a book and your body's like, well, I'm in bed, I guess it's time to fall asleep. Well, I guess not, because I'm going to be reading my book now. It kind of starts creating this association with your brain to where you start to kind of associate, like, you don't have to fall asleep if you're in bed. Instead, if you'd like read in a chair and kind of create this habit in a chair or a different room even while you're reading your book, it can start to associate, you know, these different kind of brain patterns within these habits. And so the easiest thing to do is kind of create this habit that works for you, works on a consistent basis. And that's where that sleep is such a huge pillar. And I think for most women, the priority needs to be, if you can, in an ideal world, is to try to set an alarm for bedtime, like instead of setting an alarm to wake up. And I understand we have to wake up to go to our work and all that kind of stuff. We have responsibilities, but I think if we can allow our bodies to wake up naturally in the morning time and kind of set an alarm as like a last, you know, possible time that we can get up, if you go to bed a little bit earlier, which I've heard you talk about, obviously it gives you that time to build in the morning time where you can then prioritize what matters most to you. You know, it's whether it's you're having a morning prayer time or your Bible reading, whatever it is, like it just allows you to, or like maybe just even prepping breakfast and not eating convenience foods and just eating a real breakfast. You know, all these things are, you're going to be hitting your circadian rhythm a little bit more efficiently. Yeah. If you allow your body to wake up naturally rather than using an alarm clock, which oftentimes will snooze, you know, we'll just hit the snooze button and it kind of causes that bit of a sudden shock to our system, towards like, oh, time to get up again. And it kind of jolts you a little bit, but it's not nearly as effective as waking up naturally with a high level of cortisol. So that would definitely be the first pillar. Sorry, I went on a bit of a tangent there.
That's
apologies.
So good though. All of this, like, I have a couple of questions. Yeah. So first of all, the first thing you mentioned was putting good things into your body. And that's a habit. It's just a habit. It's mm-hmm. making it a priority. So we can say, yep, we need to do that. We know that. Sure. We all pretty much know what's good. So we can act like we don't, or the drive through, whatever is like easier, but to really sure. make that a priority. Okay. So secondly, with sleep, I find this really fascinating. I've never thought about setting an alarm to go to bed so that you're not just kind of winging it every night, but that's sure. your priority. I have this app, and I think you'll like this. So probably not good. You might not like this because it does sit in my room on the phone. But it wakes me up in the window of when I'm already starting to wake up.
Yeah.
So if I tell it I want to get up at 6 a.m., from 5:30 to 6 a.m., it knows there's movement in the room. And it's like, I sense movement in the room. And it slowly gives me this music. And that wakes me up.
Yeah. So is it the sleep app? Is that what it's called?
It is the sleep app. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually recommend that one. That's a good one a lot of people use. And I don't think that, you know, the electromagnetic frequencies is a whole different conversation, you know, of having it by your head and having it charged and all what that can do for your brain activity and all that stuff is one factor. But I think having it, like, you know, in your room, you know, somewhat close by to where it can do its job, that's great. I think for a lot of people, you can start to condition that naturally, right? And I think, you know, it's harder in the wintertime when, you know, it's so dark out in the mornings and you're not getting that natural daylight to kind of stimulate you. But there's ways to kind of, you know, you can use technology to help with that. But the best thing I found is just having that predictable pattern to where your body just knows what you want, right? And I think oftentimes when we start to create circadian dysregulation, it's because we're dysregulated. Like our environment is not consistent and we are not prioritizing these pillars.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about food. We talked about sleep. What would you say is next?
I mean, obviously, I think, you know, hydration is the first thing that comes to my mind next after that. I mean, all these things are equally as important in a roundabout way. But a lot of people are hydrating improperly. And what I mean by that is they're usually drinking filtered water that has no minerals left in it. And they're either drinking mineral or filtered water that's been demineralized, or they're drinking tap water, which has chlorine and fluoride. And so there's kind of like a double-edged sword that you have to be a little bit careful with. And the priority here is you got to think about cellular hydration, because with hydration, what it really needs is you need those electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium. You need those electrolytes to help actually transport things into this, like your cellular hydration. Like you have to get that into the cell, and you have to have this cellular detoxification process. And so a lot of us are experiencing this demineralization that happens. Mm. And there's an interesting conversation here we can kind of get into if you want, but it really has, in my opinion, it kind of gets back to like, well, what, you know, if God created this, the things that we eat and things that we drink to be nourishing for our body, and we've been doing it for thousands of years, why all of a sudden now are we experiencing more issues? And from my research and understanding, it's because of this, primarily what's happening with glyphosate and what's happening with these herbicides and pesticides, because they started to create these pesticides to keep their crops from getting, you know, attacked by, you know, pests, essentially. What they had to do is they had to genetically modify the crop so that they can actually spray products so that the product will not die, but the weeds will die. And so what happened was this is where genetically modified comes into play. When you do that, number one, it obviously changes the structure of the organism, but it also typically demineralizes the crop, because what those pesticides like Roundup, what it does is it actually will strip minerals out of the weed, and that's what kills the weed. And so I think there's a big issue with the crops that we're eating, the soil issues with erosion and this monocrop farming. Like a lot of the ingredients or the nourishment that we're supposed to be getting from our food is no longer there nearly as much as it used to be. Even just in the last, you know, 60 years, it's gone down exponentially. So now all of a sudden we're dealing with this issue where we're not getting at what we need from the food. We're basically eating more cardboard-esque type of food that's not that's void of nutrients. And then we're having to then hydrate ourselves with water that is full of, you know, chemicals and fluoride and chlorine. And so that has a huge effect on neurotoxicity, but also on your thyroid, because the thyroid needs iodine to function properly to make T4. And oftentimes chlorine and fluoride will compete for that absorption, and they'll deplete your iodine resources. And so same is true if you're in the shower, you know, for 10 minutes, it can often fill you up with as much chlorine as drinking like 8 glasses of water that has chlorine in it. And so just taking long showers is a problem for people if they don't have filtered water in their house. But then you deal with this issue of mineralization. So getting back to that, what I like to do for my clients is focus on how to hydrate their cells properly. And I think it's a little bit different for everybody. You have to kind of figure out what's the best course of action for you. If you have like stage 4 kidney disease, you got to be careful not to overdo it with this, because you got to make sure you can filter these electrolytes out. But for most people, it's not an issue of too much. It's an issue of too little. And that's where you start seeing oftentimes more issues with blood pressure regulation, and ability to manage stress, because when you are experiencing high levels of cortisol, which is that stress hormone, you actually deplete magnesium, and then magnesium depletion leads to a higher level of cortisol production. So it creates this very vicious cycle. Yes. This is where you got to be very careful with, you know, consumption of coffee, because that can do the same thing. Obviously these different foods are really important as far as what we're eating. But I think for most people, if they could take magnesium, if they could take some minerals like an electrolyte tablet, folic and humic acid are great. They're really awesome at transporting things into the cell and getting things out of the cell. And so there's just a whole lot of talk behind that topic, but that would be the second thing, or third thing would be hydrating your cells properly.
Are you looking for ways to stay energized, healthy, and help your family stay healthy? I've started taking supplements from Seeking Health, and it has changed the game for me. I no longer worry that my family is getting enough of the vitamins we need, and I know the quality of what we're taking is top-notch. I take an immunity support supplement, magnesium, and several others, including electrolytes, to stay hydrated. So many people ask me about these supplements that I've made it really easy for you to find right on my website, natalietisdall.com/favorites. Also, bonus, I have a coupon code to help you save 10% on your order. You will find that coupon code on the website as well. Go to natalietisdall.com/favorites, click on Seeking Health. I may earn a small commission if you purchase there, but that's just to help my small business grow the website and the podcast to keep this news and good interviews coming your way. Again, natalietisdall.com/favorites and click on Seeking Health.
So I always feel overwhelmed with the water issue, because it's like, for me, it's just getting water. Like, okay, sure. Remember to drink the water.
Absolutely.
But I'm always curious if you have filtered water, you have it brought in, which is what we do. And if you're not drinking tap water or bottled water, but what is the right water to drink that's doing the most good for you? Or is it just regular water that you're putting electrolytes in, minerals, trace minerals?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I think It can be a couple different things. So, you know, depending on what your resources are and, you know, how much you can kind of devote to this problem, I think the first thing that you could look at doing is like a reverse osmosis system under your sink. Like if you're doing drinking water, you can get a reverse osmosis system for a few $100s. Like, and it is an investment. You still have to save up for it maybe, but that would be the first thing, just to remove things like fluoride and chlorine and atrazine, like these other chemicals that are going to be very problematic. And then from there, like, you know, what you could do is you can add a little bit of Celtic sea salt to your water. You can add a little bit of an electrolyte tablet. You know, I'm a fan of these, ones that have the artificial colors and flavors and sugars. Like, I don't think that's a good idea. I think just getting some straight electrolytes is a great option. I really like the brand Clean with a K. It's K-L-E-A-N. They have a pretty good option. There's a lot of different companies out there that are good, but, you can add those trace minerals back. You can use those ionic trace minerals. Like, you can just drop them in your water. There's a lot of things you can do just to get those minerals back into your water. But I think the first thing would just be to clean it, make sure it's not full of these other chemicals. And if you can't afford to bring in like spring water, which is also potentially a good option, which is what you're doing, that can be a good option as well, because it typically is more naturally mineralized and also should be a clean water source.
Actually, I don't know that we're doing the right thing, but you see a lot of alkaline water. So If you're just bringing in alkaline water, does that have minerals in it?
It depends. I think sometimes it can be mineralized. There's this whole conversation about alkalinity and acidity. This is a conversation that I'm not even sure where I land on it, because there's such mixed reviews. In the research, you know, when you're talking about a blood pH level of you know, having a base or having an alkaline or acidic blood, drinking alkaline water from the research isn't going to change, at least according to the research, isn't going to change that. It's like your body is really, really good at regulating your blood pH, because if you don't regulate it well, you essentially die. Now, there is this talk of what's happening in like your gut health and in terms of that, and also in terms of inflammation. There was a study done that looked at people who ingested a little bit of baking soda with their water, and it showed that they did reduce, I think, joint inflammation quite a bit, and it helped with their joint health overall. It did help to kind of address that problem in particular, but you also have to be careful with messing up your stomach acidity, because you want strong stomach acid. Like, you don't want to dilute your stomach acid, because that makes it difficult for you to digest food. And so I think for a lot of people, it kind of becomes down to this, like, okay, what's the primary issue here? Like, what is your primary driver of your problems? And this is where I kind of think the nuances matter quite a bit. The details matter quite a bit. And working with somebody that can kind of guide this process for you and identifying what your specific issues are is really helpful. But in general, I would say, you know, drinking, you know, filtered water that has adding minerals back to it is the easiest way to kind of ensure you're getting healthy. And then if you can look at getting a whole house water filter, that at least kind of cleans out the chlorine, from your water, getting it to clear out fluoride, it's a different problem. There's a lot of systems that will remineralize. They'll add salt back in. There's just a lot of different systems out there. I'm not an expert on these at all, but there are some different options out there.
But I like that the basic, just if you're going to do two things right now, it is add minerals back into your water, get an inexpensive, relatively, system to put under your sink for the reverse osmosis system, right?
Yeah. And there's also, like, you know, there's these, like, people often ask, like, what about... what is the brand? I can like see it right now. It's like the common water pitcher that people often use on their, like, a Brita water filter.
Okay, like, something people, like that. Okay.
Well, they're actually in a class action lawsuit because they're not apparently filtering out what they say they're filtering out. And so there's just a lot of these issues that you're having with these kind of convenient filters that you can just put water into, like your fridge filter. Most of those are probably helping a little bit, but probably not enough. And that's why I think a reverse osmosis is probably the most scientifically documented to remove the things that it says it's supposed to remove. And it's nice because you can hook it up underneath your sink and you just have a continuous water, you know, filtration cycle. So you can just get water whenever you need it. It's just more convenient to me to kind of set it up and just get it in place for the long-term commitment.
Great. Okay. So we've hit three pillars. What other advice? We're talking general, but just to feel better. I know you work with a lot of women to feel better overall and get to the root of your real issues. What other advice would you have?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, in addition to the sleep and kind of, you know, stress is obviously a huge one. That's a conversation we could spend a whole topic or a podcast topic on. But I think I'll touch on that briefly and then I'll transition into it a couple of different things. You know, women have a higher likelihood of perceived stress. And really what that means is that, you know, you can have a standard environment that a male and a female is exposed to, but women are going to often perceive things to be more stressful. And I think, you know, we have to kind of look at things culturally to kind of get a better comprehension of here what's going on. In my opinion, I think that a lot of women are taking on roles, multiple roles that they maybe didn't have in the past. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, 50 years ago is you manage the house, you manage the children, and you kind of make sure things are tidy, whatever it was. And that was kind of your role. Now it's all of a sudden women are still doing those things. They're nurturing their family and they're maybe out working and they're adding more to their plate. Right. And so all of a sudden it's like, it becomes more complex for you to function and feel good. And the body is like very intelligent. Like, right, we kind of view it as like a dumb bucket, but it really is a very intelligent design that God created. And I think, you know, he talks about rest all the time throughout the Bible. Like, he even rested on seventh day in his work. And I think we don't prioritize rest enough. And when our body starts malfunctioning, we're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why my hormones are messed up or why I'm feeling such imbalance. And it's like, well, like your stress, like your stress hormone cortisol, like there's a stress cortisol receptor on like every cell of your body. And so what that means is that cortisol affects everything. And so you can't get away from it. If you think that you can just kind of keep pushing through with more caffeine or more sugar and less sleep, there's a consequence to that. And I think we don't talk about that consequence enough, because the consequences are, okay, just like there's insulin resistance where your body starts pushing back against the beneficial effects of insulin, there's also cortisol resistance to where your body can start pushing back against the benefits of cortisol. And so if you have this ongoing reliance on cortisol release to kind of get through your day and just survive, the consequences are, okay, well, there goes your libido, there goes your testosterone production, there goes your ability to make muscle. We're going to start taking this extra energy. Instead of using it for muscle production, we're going to use it for storage, because we might be going into a period of starvation, because that's what our ancestors had to do. And so now you start storing more fat. Your hair follicles are not no longer strong. You start having thinning of your hair. You start just experiencing the side effects of being in this chronic stressful state. And stress is at, you know, the root of 90% of all disease. And so you can think about like how this one big chunk of a problem literally affects like almost all things in our modern day and age. And so I think if we're not implementing stress reduction tactics and expecting to heal, it really is a futile, you know, action. And I think so many women, like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, if you are a Christian, it's even more important to then rest into this idea of like, okay, what does it actually mean for me? And this is why I love, you know, listening to your podcast, because I was listening this morning and it was just really insightful. Like, the tips you were giving on setting smart goals and having this routine in the morning, like in gratitude journaling and all these things that are so, so helpful, really can set the tone for your day and set the tone for your hormonal production throughout the rest of the day. So I think for women, it's especially important when you're looking at the differences between males and females. Like, you and I could be sitting in the same room, simply just breathing in and out, and I would have a higher calorie loss than you would, just because I have more testosterone. Like, you know, you have a lot of testosterone, but it's not nearly as much as me. And so when we start seeing these differences, how does stress affect that? Well, stress will take this testosterone, which is a good thing, and convert it into more male androgens, which is, you know, you start seeing like, you know, facial hair development, or you start seeing changes with your body that are not all that favorable. You start converting estrogens poorly. You start having a lack of progesterone production. And that's where you start getting this estrogen dominant issue. And then when you start getting that, you start having these estrogens there's excessive levels of estrogens. They can start storing in your fat cells. That makes it more difficult for you to lose weight. You start getting this recirculation of toxins, and then all of a sudden you just feel like you're a mess. And so that's kind of how it happens on a practical day-to-day basis. But the good news here is, if you go back to what we talked about before with the food, with the sleep, with your hydration, with getting in a couple of supplements here, I'll mention in just a second, like, your body can start to get what it needs and it can start to give you what you want. And I think that's the big takeaway for everyone listening, is just that these things, you know, we've helped so many women do this. It's very feasible and it happens pretty quick. Like, once you start getting in this good rhythm, you start seeing that what you do matters. It makes a big difference. Your body will start to turn and it starts to kind of start producing what you need. And this is where, again, if you have like a serious disease like Cushing's syndrome or Addison's disease, where you're literally having like an endocrine problem, maybe you have like Hashimoto's or something like that, like, you do need to kind of go the next step in identifying what those things are. That's definitely warranted, but those are not as common as, you know, the more lifestyle related factors that people can start to change. And so that's really where we like to focus, are those factors.
I just think it's so important. And I know for some women who might be listening, if men listening too, some of this feels overwhelming. It's like, oh my gosh, you just told me 20 things. And by the way, I have show notes where I'll put a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
but good. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Like someone told me years ago, like if you just focus and you do 3 things a day to help yourself, that adds up over time. But absolutely. When you wait, like you said on the freeway, and you wait and it all blocks up, then you're really overwhelmed. So even though all of these things, like I have to think about my water, think about my vitamins, I think, stop thinking that way. Take a step back and say, if I just do a little bit every day and I set up systems and habits, it's all going to add up to a happier, healthier life.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I always say control what you can control. It doesn't need to be overly complicated, but if you're in a season that's crazy busy, and you find one thing that you're like, hey, I know I can be better here. I want to be better here. And this is why it'll start to happen. And that habit, that habitual pattern will start to be developed. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the power of habit and the atomic habit, you know, principles and kind of reinforcing your why and understanding why it matters and recreating a belief pattern that really kind of reinforces what you're doing. Because if we have to kind of convince ourselves every time we're faced with an obstacle or a decision that this is good for us, initially, it might be a little bit hard or a little bit difficult, but after you start to kind of recreate a new belief that this is why it matters and this is the benefit I will get, you don't have to ask the question anymore. You just do it. Just like how we all, like if you're a living, you know, breathing human on this planet, we all do essential things. Like we all don't like just run out in traffic. Like we don't like go and do things that we know are going to literally kill us. Like we avoid those things. Like we do a certain level of basics to kind of promote our own survival. And that's because we believe that if we don't do those things, like we will die. And so then we can start to associate, like, if I don't drink this clean water with minerals added back to it, like I'm not going to feel as good as I could. Or like, if I don't go to bed at night and I can really get my circadian rhythm balance, I'm not going to have good energy the next day. And I'm going to start gaining weight and it's not going to be what I want for my family, for my future. And so we just have to start kind of connecting these dots and start thinking about what we want and why it matters to us. And then we start to see the path to get there. It becomes much more clear on how we're going to get there.
I want to thank you for joining me today. By the way, if it felt like we ended suddenly, we did, because we're going to continue this conversation next week, uncovering more gems on achieving a balanced, healthy lifestyle. We're going to go into all kinds of other health-related topics, like what kind of vitamins should I be taking? How do I know if they are quality vitamins, and so much more. Speaking of staying informed and inspired, have you signed up for my newsletter yet? It is your weekly infusion of exclusive content, tips, and much, much more designed to enrich your journey towards a more fulfilled life. Thanks for joining again. Talk to you next week. Thank you for joining the Natalie Tisdall podcast. You can follow along on Instagram and at natalietisdall.com. Subscribe to the show to catch every new episode and leave a review so I can continue to bring you fresh content. See you next week.